maybe just one or two other things. I remember whenever on Burn Road, there used this is before flood control and whatnot. Burn Road itself had a small little irrigation ditch, and then another one on the other side that was must have been 12 feet wide and maybe 12 feet deep as well. A huge ditch, and then depending on when the tides are running, that the whole ditch would fill right up, and so and it would be fed by the Fraser and whatnot. And I remember we used to. So all the properties on the west side had to cross, so it had small little bridges that you had to actually drive over to get to the properties. And so we just loved to sit on these little bridges and fish, you know, like just little poles with little hooks and whatnot. And, a lot of times you get small little minnows and all kinds of things that would come up, you know, at, during the tide. I can remember, you can never catch this one. I remember. You could always see at that time. We should still see sturgeon in that ditch, because you could see them. They we'd watch. You know, I think a lot of time wouldn't even know what to do with it. We did catch these guys, but they love to make. You know, they go and swish back and forth and make a little hollow in the little creek, I guess, if you want. You know, they clear it all in the sand and make a little hollow, and they just wait for stuff to, I think, drift over them and whatnot. You can actually see them, and they see the sturgeon, and they're maybe, I don't know, maybe 30 inches long, kind of good-sized ones, and you can see them in there. You know, even if you dangle something in front of them, they never seem to snap it. They seem to know what. And so there was the odd, you know, odd fish in there. Sometimes that would come up. Come up the river, and we'd see lots of little, maybe a foot to, about 12 inches long. We're not sure what they were. Probably a little bullhead, you know. I think what they used to call bullhead. I don't think they're good eating fish anyway. But interesting, you know, always trying to catch fish and whatnot.
Or head.
Yeah, that's right.
That's interesting. When you were older, a little bit more time on your hands, was there a place where all the kids would hang out?
I remember, one of the bigger hangouts was, what was the name of the, a little burger joint just around where Burnaby South was. A Luxury Freeze or something like that. It's a Greek restaurant now, I think. Anyway, we used to, that was sort of a bit of a hangout. There was also I used to go with my friends around on Royal Oak, just north of Rumble. Now, that might have been around McPherson days, but there was a church there that in the basement. They made it a bit of like a coffee house or a little hangout for kids, for, you know, young people and whatnot. So I think it was open like a couple three nights a week. So you go in there and, you know, they only serve, the strongest thing they serve was pop, you know, that kind of thing. So those are all the sort of the neighborhood ones. And wasn't until I guess got into university that, you know, some of my friends said, you know, we didn't do you know, the sort of the nightclub scene as much as they do nowadays. You know, the odd time we'd go hang out with my friends, go down to downtown Vancouver and go out to remember Oil Can Harry's was sort of a one of our guys in the group was friends with somebody who was either, you know, a manager of the club or something like that. For some reason, we hung out there, you know, more often than not, kind of thing. So
there weren't any clubs or anything out in Burnaby?
No, nothing that seems to. No, I didn't. Nothing seemed to ring a bell for me.
Okay.
I guess you know, my childhood growing up was a little bit different than maybe I guess most other families, maybe because we had a family, you know, business. You know, most of the other guys that I chummed around with, their you know, mother stayed at home, fathers, you know, went off to work, kind of thing. So it's different for me. You know, like my mom and dad were always there, and you know, the four of us were, you know, were working in a family business. So that kind of, I think, family. We developed an extremely strong family ties, family relationship. That I think was probably where I got the most, you know, if you had to ask me what my warmest feeling was, I think family was probably the biggest thing for me. You know, in the normal kind of, you know, as I said, we weren't deeply religious, but you know, Christmas became a kind of a big, you know, New Year's, Christmas in that era was the time was sort of our biggest, you know. So we had my mom had a lot of family in the area, and so we'd have family over for New Year's dinner and that kind of thing. So, or we went to, you know, other families, whatnot. So yeah, so just, you know, I guess yeah, family functions and that kind of thing were probably my happiest and whatnot. I guess, well, if I had to pick one biggest thing, was probably when I bought my first car. I think that's still for a guy, I think, 16, got my driver's license, and then that fall I bought my first car. So that's still the anticipation, you know, I can remember it just killed me, you know, because I ordered this brand new Mustang, and, you know, it was a factory order, and, you know, and it took the longest time to get here for whatever reason. I just remember the anticipation, it just killed me. So.
Okay, and the flip side of that, what's your most horrific memory of growing up in Burnaby?
Horrific memory. I guess if I had one, I guess when my grandma died. My grandma came to live with us in the late 50s, maybe, and she passed away in 65, I think. And so grandma was a big part of, you know, she had interesting stories, and, you know, because, you know, she didn't, you know, she almost kind of took care of us, I guess. Mom and Dad always worked on the farm, and so grandma was there to, I guess my brother and I sort of hung around grandma more than anything else, and so, yeah, she was a big part of my, you know, so I guess her passing was, I guess at that time I would have been only, 65, would have been 15 or 16, I guess, so that was tough, you know, it was first experience with death, as it were, I guess. Yeah, my extended family goes, so I've got, on my dad's side, very sparse. My grandfather came over to Canada probably in the somewhere around the 1880s or something like that. He did gold mining or placer mining in the Cranbrook Fort Steele area. And that's where my dad was born. And and as it turns out, my grandfather was an only child, I think. So was my dad. when my grandfather passed away, my dad was only 3 or 4. So I have very little contact on my dad's side, so it's just my brother and I. But on my mom's side, my mom is one of 7, I believe, five girls and two brothers. So my two uncles are here, and Uncle Steve and Uncle Kai. Now my aunt came to live with us. After my grandma died, my aunt came to live with us. She actually came from Malaysia during the war, when the Japanese invaded. She left, fled southern China, and went to Malaysia, and then she, you know, been there ever since. And then in the middle 60s, she came to live with us for quite a while. And so there's my aunt, so there's three of those, and then, yeah, so there's my two uncles, my aunts, and then my mom has lots of close cousins and whatnot. So on my mom's side, there's quite a few, and they're all in the either Richmond or East Vancouver, or I think there's one in Surrey. So, and then my mom's youngest brother, Steve, Uncle Steve, quite a while ago, he moved out to Ontario, so he's the only one that's sort of outside of the Vancouver area now. Otherwise, my mom's cousins and whatnot, and direct brothers and sisters are in the Vancouver area.
Okay. Was there ever any kind of formal association in the Chinese community?
Yeah. South Burmese, no. In the Vancouver area, there, the geographic area, if you want to call it, where my mom's family is from, and actually where my dad's family is from you know, in China, there is an association, if you want to call it that. And in Vancouver, along Pender Street, there was an association there, and so. I think, the New Year's probably was the biggest event in the Chinese calendar, and sort of the Spring Festival. So usually there was a couple of banquets that we would go downtown for. And this association, they provided this is, I guess, for Chinese families during the 50s and whatnot. They provided everything from, you know, if you were here and you wanted to arrange passages back and forth, they would, you know, because I guess the Chinese population here always had problems with language and whatnot, I guess, and so this association would be the place you'd go to if you wanted to, for interpreter type services, or trying to get your, you know, arrange passage, if you were wanting to send home money to home, that kind of thing. They also maintained a lot of low rent housing as well downtown as well. So for any new immigrants that came, that you could get put up there for, you know, until you got set up and that kind of thing. So it was most of the Chinese, and they went sort of by surname, you know, by these associations were associations that provided, you know, this kind of a service or this kind of a an association for the various family of certain, you know, clans, if you want to call them that. So, and there were quite a few of them downtown. My dad's side, my last name is Yip, so on my dad's side, because my dad had so little family here, we sort of joined with, you know, my mom's last name was Chow, and that family name had a huge, and still is a huge number of Chow families that are here, and so that association is huge. So we sort of partook of that group.